Om Shanti, good morning. So today we have Sister Gopi with us. So Sister Gopi was born in Africa and she has her roots both in Africa, India and Europe. So she completed her education in Africa and Europe and she has been with Baba for over last 45 years. And she was very fortunate to be sustained by many senior dadis. And especially Dadi Janki has been her mentor all through her life. And her main interest area in service was promoting and developing inner leadership for young adults globally. And from many decades, she has been overseeing the International Youth Forum, in which hundreds and thousands of youth have adopted and explored the principles of inner leadership. And also, in addition to this, she has also initiated and coordinated series of programs like the Feminine Renaissance, Global Executive Retreats, and the Future of Power Dialogues. And last few years, Sister Gopi has been overseeing health and safety area in all the three campuses in Mount Abu. So today, Sister Gopi would explore the topic, Mastering the Three Dots and Accumulating the Power of Silence. Sister Gopi.
Om Shanti. Is everybody sleeping or awake? Awake? So shall we try again? Om Shanti. Now that's better. One more time so I can hear you. Om Shanti. That's better. It's interesting, this word Om Shanti. In Brahmin life we use it as a hello, Om Shanti. Then when something has finished, Om Shanti. We use it to remind ourselves that I am a peaceful soul. Om Shanti. And so everything starts with a dot and everything ends with a dot. Everything in between is just detail. Even today, science tells us how you begin your day. The first 10 minutes of your day sets the mood of your whole day. And then how you end your day will determine how you sleep. So it's so important to take care of beginnings and endings. Not to get caught up in the detail in the middle, but am I starting something well and am I ending something well? And this topic today, the mastering the three dots, accumulating the power of silence, was inspired by a little dialogue that took place in the integrated retreat yesterday. And within that, I had this realization or this feeling that if I truly feel I am a soul and I feel I belong to Baba, what experience will you have in that moment? When you feel you are a soul and that you belong to Baba, what do you feel inside? Happiness? Peace? Are there any extra thoughts? Are there any waste thoughts? Security? Stability? There's no doubts, are there? Do I belong to Baba? No. So the experience of myself and the experience of Baba brings a sense of deep peace and joy and stability and security. So those are the first two dots, soul and God. And then, if I do what I have to on time, with time, then I've mastered the third dot, drama. You know, many times we think this much, of what we think we speak this much, of what we speak we do this much. Is that correct? So you are constantly running ahead of yourself. It's a little bit like being in an aeroplane and you're flying from the USA to India. When you arrive in India, what do you experience? Jet lag. So your body is still in that time zone. Your body is still experiencing the old time zone, but you're here in a new environment. And that's what happens when we think too much and too quickly. We leave a part of ourselves behind. So you come into the next scene of the drama with jet lag. And then when you have jet lag, you're tired, you're irritated, and then you take it out in the person in front of you. So when you're mastering the three dots, you are learning the art of fully being present in yourself with Baba in time. And then you will feel like this moment now is eternity. There's lots of time. There will never be the pressure of a lack of time. Yes, there is the aspect that I have to realize what I have to do. These were Dadi's three favorite questions towards the end. Who am I? Who do I belong to, and what do I have to do? And when I realize what I have to do, then I have to make sure I do that on time. I don't postpone something, I don't delay something, I don't procrastinate. Because all of that will create a lag, a time lapse, and it will be experienced as a burden on the soul. Each one of us knows the experience when we've left something for a period of time. You think, oh, it's at the back of your mind, I've still got that to do. Right? What are you doing? You're just creating an unnecessary burden. And then with that burden, you try and practice soul consciousness. Those thoughts keep coming back. What is unfinished keeps coming back. So it's very important for the self that we train ourselves to think only what is necessary now, and whatever I think I speak about, and whatever I speak I do. And the moment you start to do that, you start to, how do you say, come back into the present, into the need of the moment now. Not too much, not too little, so there's no wastage. And you have to move your car in a balanced way, like that. Because where there is balance, there is bliss. Baba has told us this. So really, this ability to rein in the racing mind. Bring it back again, now. Who am I? Who do I belong to? And what do I have to do now? One of the things I deeply appreciated about Daddy's presence, Daddy Genki, was her ability to move from one moment to the next in a very clean way. Even though she may have been in a very serious meeting one moment, the next moment she could be as light as a feather and you wouldn't even know that she had faced a big challenge. So she never carried the residue, the impact or the effect of anything into the next moment. This is one of the gifts of mastering soul consciousness and God consciousness. The practice of bodiless again and again helps you to finish the effect of each moment you're in, and you can move into the next moment cleanly. And, you know, I was coming up the mountain, and just before coming up the mountain, I was involved in quite a heavy meeting because of some last minute changes. And then as I'm coming up, well, who am I? Who do I belong to? Let go of everything else. And now what do I have to do? I have to meet all of you. So if I was to bring the energy of that meeting into this room, I wouldn't be able to give you the fullness of who I am. And that's why dissatisfaction happens in relationships. Because we are never fully present in a clean way with each other. Yeah? Especially as Brahmin souls. You know, we don't have a relationship with each other. We have a relationship with Baba. And in each moment, if I am present fully in front of you, in a clean, with a clean heart, a clean mind, a concentrated intellect, then whatever Baba has given me, you will feel. And whatever Baba wants to give you, he will give you. So, as an instrument, my responsibility is to make sure that I don't lose the balance of this relationship with Baba in the drama. The drama and whatever is happening around you is completely natural and normal. So you will sometimes say to me, "Sister, how can violence be normal?" Well, think of it as the season when there's spring and the new buds are growing on the trees. We don't question, "Oh, they're so small, when are they going to grow?" We know summer is coming. Then summer comes and there's full bloom, and then we appreciate the beauty of the bloom. And then autumn comes. And here in India, the monsoons come, and they bring so much rain. But then abroad, when autumn comes and the leaves start falling off, we don't start worrying. Oh, the trees, oh, my leaves are falling off. What am I going to do? And then by winter, all the trees are naked. But whatever they are, they are. Whether they are full bloom or completely naked, they are the same. So, whatever the season of the drama may be, it is just a season. Don't make it a lifetime. Now, within a season, what do I have to do? So when you know it's winter and it's very, very cold outside, you're not going to spend 80% of your time outdoors. You're going to spend most of your time indoors, and you're going to have to get creative about using your time. So it's the same way, we are in the winter of humanity. And the strongest signal Baba has given each of us children is, children, in order to become yogis, become introverted. I have to learn to create a space inside so that I can start to operate from inside out. So this whole thing of my sense of self, that's where it begins. The first dot. Who am I? Now yes, on the one hand, when we first take the course and we understand, yes, I am soul. Oh, thank God I'm not all of this other things. I'm liberated. But then, in your feelings to remain soul conscious, that's an effort. It's not enough simply to know I'm a soul. And it's not enough simply just to visualize yourself as a dot. Because that's like looking at a picture. It's important to be able to go inside and feel the shakti of the soul inside. The soul is a very subtle shakti, a power. And this power is like a hidden fuel that's making this machinery work automatically. When there's petrol in a car, the car runs automatically. When there's oil in the car, it runs automatically. You don't have to think about the detail of the car. It's the same. When I become still conscious and I become aware of the power, everything is running automatically. But again and again I have to stop to feel myself inside. You know, for many souls, what happens is we feel other people too much. We feel the situation too much. We feel somebody's sanskaras too much. We feel somebody's words too much. And when you get trapped in those feelings, Baba is very, very far away. So this practice that Baba gives us in between, to be able to stop and literally become bodiless. Just take off the awareness of your body, like taking off a costume. And feel yourself inside as a shakti. And now allow all that shakti to concentrate behind these eyes. And take the seat of a detached observer. Immediately, you will start to feel the body relaxing. There will be a lightness that enters the body. And then you can move forward lightly. This is one of the first signs of mastering the first dot. Soul consciousness. It brings lightness inside. And then, in soul consciousness, as a detached observer, who's my companion? Baba. And this is my eternal companion. And Baba is offering us his presence at every second. He says, you children are my world. I don't want to leave you. You are never far away from me. But don't let go of my hand. It's the hand of our intellect. Because it's your intellect that gets distracted. It's your intellect that gets attracted. It's your intellect that gets trapped somewhere. So your intellect is the hand that holds Baba. That keeps the connection with Baba and the experience of the companion with you. You know, we are so used to, over a period of time, we're so used to operating alone. We've developed a sense of individuality. I have to look after myself. I have to do this. I have to do so much I. So, that we can't even bring Baba into the simplest of activities. I mean, you know when you sit for Brahma Bhojan, do you sit and feel as if Baba is feeding you? At this basic level, Baba is ready to sustain you. If when you're walking, do you feel Baba's companionship when you're walking? Or are you just walking along, rushing, trying to get from one place to another? So at the very basic level, being a detached observer inside means that I can sustain Baba's companionship in every activity I do. And it's such a sweet thing, such a sweet experience. You know, I remember many, many years ago, it was here in Gyan Sarovar, and we were running often retreats in December. And it was perhaps around, it was a Thursday, so it was Bhog Day. And usually on that day, breakfast is a little late because Bhog is offered. And I had a session to start at 10 o'clock in the morning. And I hadn't had my breakfast. I had to rush to meet somebody on the other side in Vishnupuri. The session downstairs in the meditation hall was going to start at 10. And I was rushing, literally rushing to get here. It was 10 minutes to 10. And then on the way, guess who I meet? Daddy Jenki. She's walking to the dining hall, and I'm thinking, oh no, I'm about to get to a session, and here's Daddy coming right in front of me, and she goes, come here. And so I go in front of her, and the first thing she says to me, and I know she was going to be, have you had your breakfast? And of course, I didn't say anything. And she asked me again, have you had your breakfast? I said, Daddy, I have to go to a session at 10 o'clock. Have you had your breakfast? And she knew I hadn't. And then in absolute silence, she picked up my hand and she made me walk with her up that ramp to dining room number 5. She didn't say anything. And of course, her breakfast is laid out. She put me down and she said, eat. And in that moment, I had to merge all these thoughts. I'm going to be late for the session. I can't even tell somebody else to start the session. They're going to be wondering where I am. And she made me eat. I'm sitting there. And it was interesting. The first mouthful I put in my mouth, I felt as if Baba had put his arms in my arms and was feeding me. And the whole of that 10 minutes in which I had breakfast, the whole experience was as if Baba was just waiting to feed me. And I was ignoring Baba. Because I was rushing to go somewhere to start a session. And it was such a beautifully silent session. And I arrived in the hall at 10:05, just in time to start the session. And I realized very deeply that Baba wants the opportunity to love us, to care for us. But we don't give Baba that opportunity. We're too busy in our thoughts about what we should eat, how it should be prepared. We're looking at everybody else. that we don't give Baba that space to feed us. It is such a precious experience to feel as if you are being cared for by Baba. And you are, literally. But sometimes when you're so self-absorbed in your own thoughts, you can't see it and you can't feel it. And that's when you have a good friend that comes along and tells you to stop. And that's where I appreciated Daddy's companionship greatly. Because her priority was always Baba. Whatever you have to do, it's fine, but do it with Baba. Because you're Baba's instrument. It's Baba's task. Baba will get it done. And there are many times, and you know, most of you will have experienced this, when you're going through situations and it's complicated and you can't understand what's happening and it all feels a bit too much and you feel like, how are we ever going to complete this? In those moments you just start remembering Baba and somehow something gets done. Something starts to move, something gets accomplished, and you don't even know how it's happened. Because this is the nature of spiritual power. It makes something work automatically. There is no need to rationalize and no need to analyze. Because when you rationalize and analyze, guess what happens? You paralyze. You stop, you get stuck, you slow down. And then you always feel like you're not keeping up with things. You feel left behind. And that's when the fear comes in. I'll be left behind or I have to rush. Baba's power is incredible. It's like a switch. It can make anything happen in a second. And so what do I have to do so that I can become an instrument that whose presence allows everything to happen automatically? Whether in my own body, in relation to my own health, whether in terms of relationships, whether in terms of a task or service. Because at the end of the day, if you are seeing problems around you, then the bottom line is, you are the problem. The person who sustains the vision of problems doesn't realize they are the obstacle themselves. So mastering the first dot is deeply going into that experience of soul consciousness and the reality that I am a soul. I own nothing. I control nothing. I have nothing. So there is no need to think about anything. Simple example. We're running a project, a service project. What happens after a service project? We have feedback. This could have been done better. That could have been done better. That could have been improved. I would still say this is a Rajopradhan mindset. There's no time even for this anymore. And what would a Satopradhan mindset do? Appreciate. Everybody played their part accurately. What happened in the drama was good. What is to happen is going to be even better. Simple. Light. Move forward. Don't labor anything. Because anything you get heavy about, you lose balance with. And then Baba can't lift you. Your connection with Baba doesn't work. In order to stay connected to Baba, you have to keep yourself light. So the first dot, I am a soul, bodiless soul. again and again go into the sweetness of this experience. And then who do I belong to? Sweet Papa, the ocean of love, the ocean of forgiveness, the ocean of knowledge, the ocean of peace, the comforter of hearts. Go into every title of Baba's until your mind feels that title of Baba. And that's Manmanabhava. When you start to experience the essence of the nature of God, who Baba is. Baba would often say to us, children, early in the morning, take up a title of self-respect or take up one of Baba's titles. Feel it. Baba would also say to us, let go of your baggage. Change what is mine into yours. Because one of the fundamental root causes of expansion and heaviness is tension. You come into tension about things. Why do you come into tension about things? Because you're worrying about something. If you look in your subconscious, you're worried about something. You're worried about your body, worried about not being listened to, worried about not being appreciated. You're worried about something. Some concern is still there. When you deeply practice self-consciousness, you change what is mine into yours, because nothing is mine when you're a soul. Nothing. Not even this. If this body is not yours, then what else is yours? This is just a temporary vehicle. You didn't carry this body birth after birth. And so, Baba's, one of the most beautiful things I heard Avyakta Baba share many years ago is he would say, children, when you wake up in the morning, as soon as you open your eyes, whatever it is that you're holding on to, give it to Baba. You know, one sister, she just met me before I left, and she was saying, you know, today I got up at 4:40 instead of 3:40. I set my alarm for 3:40 with the intention to wake up for Amrit Vela. Instead, I woke up at 4:40. And I woke up with guilt and shame and fear. I've woken up late. And she said, I remembered what Baba said. This is not mine, this is yours, Baba. I went into Baba's room by 5 o'clock and I sat and had meditation for half an hour and I gave that feeling to Baba. So whatever it is that is eating away inside, you have to give that to Baba. It's not your property anymore. And you have to do that at the beginning of the day and keep doing it throughout the day. Because if you don't give that to Baba, guess what you will do? You will give that to each other. You project your guilt, you project your fear, you project your shame, and that's when our relationships break down. So it's very important, again and again, this isn't me, this isn't my property, Baba, this is yours. This is a sign of an honest heart. You offload your baggage. Right? And the moment you do that and you make a habit out of it, you will be able to stay mentally light. Yeah? You're not walking around with a sack of fear and guilt and shame. This is all the property of Ravan that you've inherited. It's not yours. It's not your true property. Yes, we all know we've been an ocean of mistakes. Who hasn't? We've all made mistakes. Maybe we will continue to make. It doesn't matter. What matters is now that whatever I am, however I am, I belong to Baba. And that in this moment now, I want to be true in my relationship with Baba. I don't want anything else in between. And the second thing, so one is lightness, keeping lightness of mind. But the second thing is making your mind strong. When you have a weak mind, you are easily influenced. When you have a strong mind, you can remain determined. Your thoughts carry determination. You know, many times we have thoughts for our efforts, but they don't seem to happen because your thoughts don't carry a determination in them. The mind is not strong enough. Yeah, you hope it'll happen. You hope something will happen. But as a Brahmin, you can't live in that kind of false hope. As a Brahmin, you have to live in the certainty of truth. This is who I am. Victory is my birthright. Then you can command circumstances from the place of being a master. Not from the place of being a doubtful beggar or a doubtful victim. So, strength of mind comes when I create a baseline of godly principles for myself. I'm not just following something because somebody has told me to follow it, but I deeply understand that this is what will help me to become pure and true inside. My principles are my baseline. And when your mind is anchored in principles, you will never experience conflict of mind. Because conflict in your mind only arises when there are desires. You want something. And if you want something, it means you're not operating on the basis of jnana and principles. You're operating on the basis of desires, lust, attraction, indulgence. And that is exactly the energy that makes your mind weak. What is expectation? It is a form of lust. It is a form of subtle desire. The jnani soul lives off a formula of principles. This is what I've witnessed with Daddy many, many years. Of course, the principle of purity is the most basic principle, first and foremost principle for a Brahmin soul. Purity in every aspect, our food, our company, our lifestyle, our speech, our behavior. Have I made purity a baseline for myself? Or am I still messing around with my own purity? Because if you can't even make that baseline for yourself, you will forever become a follower and a bhagat of somebody. You know, nowadays, some people, oh, I follow this one and I follow this one on YouTube and I follow. Are you a Brahmin or a follower? You have an intellect, you have jnana and you have Baba. And you have the Murli. Who is there to follow? You think following someone is going to bring you salvation? So strength of mind requires me to churn Baba's Murali very deeply and extract from it the principles of purity for my life. Of course, Baba tells us, gives us all of those on a plate. In so many Avyakt Muralis, Baba has given us guiding principles. Child, when you wake up in the morning, experience yourself to be a soul that is incarnated into this body. And then, as you come to class, hold the self-respect of being a godly student. And then, as you go about doing your day-to-day work, become a karma yogi. Baba has put everything on a plate for us. I have to own it and work with it. And keep it as a baseline. No matter what happens, no matter how much praise I may be given, I am a karma yogi soul. I am a sevadhari. I am a humble server. Even if I'm defamed, I am a karma yogi soul. I am a sevadhari. I am a humble server. That baseline of certain principles creates stability of mind. So if you don't mess around with your principles, that's when you develop integrity. You know, when I thought of Daddy and how Daddy passed away, in 10 hours from the moment she left the body at 2 o'clock in the morning till 1 or something in the afternoon, everything had been finished. And that's exactly how she would have liked to go. No fluff, no expense. The only expense was the sandalwood garlands, maybe 6,000 rupees or something like that. It was COVID, it was lockdown, nobody could come. And there were only 40 people at the funeral. That's exactly how she wanted it. She used to tell us, I don't want anybody to come to my funeral. And I knew, you know, she would say, stay in your service places, do Baba's service. Don't waste your time coming here with me. And that's how she left. Because her whole life was lived like that. Greater success through less expenditure. Now imagine in her funeral, if there wasn't lockdown, how many thousands of Baba's children around the world would have bought a plane ticket to come to India? That would have all gone into her account. She was very smart. That's why I always say I think she initiated the lockdown. Yes, she left with zero in her account. Even in her departure, nothing was accumulated. Nobody had to any expense, nothing in her name. This is the sign of a soul that has lived their life on the basis of economy, that even at the end, drama helps them fulfill their principles at a time of death. That is an honorable way to live and to die. So ask yourself, what are my life principles? Am I just living life day to day, hoping something, oh yeah, we have some good food today, so I had a good day today. Oh yeah, I met somebody nice today, so I had a good day today. On what basis are you living your life? And it's a wonderful thing, because when you deeply hold true to a principle, my experience is that your mind stops thinking, you don't think, and you experience happiness no matter what. You know, one of my own personal principles is this principle of economy and eknami, that everything is done in the name of the One, and of course less expenditure but greater success. And I remember I was traveling from one country to another, and the country I was traveling to was a poor country, and I was carrying a suitcase. I was allowed two suitcases, and I had packed a third one with necessary things for that country. And because I travel a lot, I have elite status with that particular airline. So sometimes they allow me to carry a third bag, but in that situation I wasn't sure whether they would allow me or not, because I was traveling economy class. And I packed the bag, and I looked up on their website, and they said, in order to carry a third bag, you have to pay something like £80. And I thought, well, the contents of this suitcase aren't even £80. But they're necessary for the center. So I was thinking, should I take it? Should I unpack it? Should I leave it? All those things. And I'm thinking, shall I pay the money? No, that doesn't feel right. And then I went back, what's my principle? Okay, this is my principle. Right, it means I'm not paying for this bag. Because I'm not taking this, it's not my personal stuff. This is stuff that's needed. And we're going to go to the airport and we're going to see what happens. And I was so happy in that moment because I made a decision. I continued with my packing. I packed all three bags. I was so happy. Went to the airport. And guess what happened? I went to the check-in desk. And that day, the conveyor belts weren't working. You know the luggage that take the luggage through? They weren't working. So I'm allowed check-in at business class because of my elite status. So I went to the business class counter and he was in so much tension. So I gave him a blessing card. I said hello and he was in a rush. And he said, oh, thank you. Nobody's given me a blessing card today. Thank you so much. And he says, we have to do this quickly, Mom. How many suitcases do you have? I said, I have three. But he goes, no, don't worry about it. You just put them down. He quickly tagged them and he goes, you go, quick, go. That was it. All three suitcases went without paying a penny, not even ask anything. And what I realized very deeply from that incident is that when you have a set of principles, you keep your joy and happiness alive. You don't waste your mental, precious mental energy on petty things. Should you be doing this? Should you be doing that? No, what's your principle? Go back to that, make a decision, move on. Your principles is what informs the intellect to make a decision. Right? The reason why we are tamopradhan is because the intellect has become completely corrupt. Yeah. It just lives off the indulgence of the senses. And then Baba comes along and feeds us truth, showers us with the rain of knowledge, and the intellect starts to realize, wait a minute, how am I living my life? Is it true? Am I being false? Am I being really true here? And the intellect is the gatekeeper between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. So sometimes, of course, we have lived intense lives. Things may have happened to us before Gyan. Whatever it is in this birth, Sister Jayanti called it the 83rd birth, because the 84th birth is your Brahmin life, confluence aged life. But whatever's happened in that old life, it is what it is. But if the gatekeeper is strong, then your mind can remain manmana bhav. And the gatekeeper needs to have certain principles and rules to keep the gate, open the gate or close the gate. It's like security. When there's a big program, the security is given a list of names, who to allow through, who to not allow through. So your intellect is security, is the guard. And if that guard doesn't have a set of principles, then who does it allow into the conscious mind? Anything and everything. An old memory comes up, suddenly that comes into your conscious mind and you stop. Somebody said something, suddenly that comes into your conscious mind and you stop. Because you've got no security guards. Your intellect isn't functioning. So you need to give your intellect a list of principles. Only open the door when this principle is being followed. Otherwise, everything else, not mine. For something to let you go, if you want your past to let you go, you have to let it go first. The bird has to let go of the branch in order to fly. It can't still hold a branch and say, I want to fly, I want to fly. And so one of the most basic principles is past is past. Which means I tell the gatekeeper, I will not let anything come into my conscious mind from the past. Baba has told us storms come. This is normal, this is part of Maya's kingdom. But what's the other thing Baba has told us with it? Children, storms will come, but do not be afraid. Really simple. So they're going to come, they're going to mob your gatekeeper, they're going to shake your gatekeeper. Don't be afraid, just bring Baba in. Because in front of Baba, nothing can stay. Nothing. So, mastery. The soul, Baba. And making time your friend. And time has your plan of completion. Drama knows how to bring you to your complete stage. Baba knows and drama knows. So don't lose your friendship with drama. Daddy would often say, Baba had one time said to her, I can't remember the exact words, but something like, you're not complaining about my child drama, are you? As much as you love Baba, you have to love drama. Because for a Brahmin soul, there is incredible benefit in each moment of the drama for us. And so making time your friend, knowing that everything has its own time for transformation. So it doesn't matter how much you want somebody to hurry up and change, they're not going to hurry up and change. So drop it. I am a soul, I belong to Baba, that soul is playing their part. Accurately. Only you are already a master of all three dots. Because it's all in one. The moment I'm soul conscious and I'm in Baba's presence, I'm already in tune with drama. I'm now in this moment. And that's where I can be a master right now. The moment you let your expectations and desires rule your mind, you're disconnected from the present, you're somewhere else. Or you go back into the past. You're disconnected. So it's really important now, in each moment now, who am I? Who do I belong to? And what do I have to do now? Make this a mantra for yourself. And as you do that, you will disentangle away from all the excess stuff. Other people's expectation of you, all that. You know what you have to do. And you do what you have to do quietly. You don't have to prove yourself. You don't have to justify yourself. You know, one of the slogans that I loved when Queen Elizabeth II passed away in the UK recently, One of the slogans she had was, don't complain, don't explain. I loved it. And she was the quietest public figure, but the most respected. Because the moment you open your mouth to complain about something, you will have to explain yourself later on. And then you end up having to make a story, you end up having to, and you get caught up in a pickle. And then all of that stays with you because it's your karma. We are at a moment in time where we have to pack up bag and baggage, not keep extending and telling ourselves more stories. We have to finish the stories. Then we will be able to go home with dignity and royalty with Baba. Okay? Om Shanti.
सतयुग में अब तुम्हें